The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
It is the will of God for every single person to know Him through His Word. We cannot know God apart from His Word.
Yeah.
This is how we begin to know what, this is our concrete, this is our authority.
We need to be hungry for the Word. We need to believe there's power in this. I don't want to miss any of it. It's working in me right now. This Word is healing me. I believe that people, when they sit under the Word, can be healed of sickness and disease if they'll release their faith and believe that there's power in the Word.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions.
They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you?
God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Have you ever had times when it was difficult to study the Bible? Perhaps you really just weren't getting out of it what you feel like you should, or maybe you just didn't feel like reading God's Word at all. Well, listen to this question that came to us through Twitter using hashtag AskJoyce. He asks, what do you do when your spiritual morale seems low, when prayer, fasting, and studying suddenly becomes uninteresting? Well, that's a great question, because no matter where we are in our walk with Christ, we all get to different points of zeal and enthusiasm for the Word, and sometimes it's just a little bit more difficult. So wherever you are right now, today, you have two amazing Bible teachers here with you to tackle this dilemma. Joyce will help answer that question, and our guest Beth Moore will share that she did not always have that passion either. Great help for us all today as we answer the question, how can I develop a passion for God's Word?
I just love the Word. I mean, I just love the Word. I hold my Bible. I hug my Bible. I've even been known to kiss my Bible. I love the Word of God. I love teaching the Word of God. I love to watch what the Word of God does in people's lives. And I admire you and respect you for taking your time to come out to hear the Word of God, and for all of you that are watching by television for taking the time, and many of you on a daily basis, to receive the Word, because the Word of God has power in it. The words that we're speaking, when we speak God's Word, they're not just ordinary words, but God's Word has power inherent in it. That means it comes with little power bullets that have the ability to change our lives. I have a goal today. My goal is hopefully to help all of us come up higher in how we receive the Word and how we appreciate the Word and how we even respect the Word of God. When you go to church, don't ever think you're just going to put your time in. Go expecting. I'm excited to hear the Word. When I hear the Word today, something is going to be released in my life. Something good is going to happen in me. I'm going to change. Circumstances are going to change. And go in and be attentive like it is the most awesome thing that you could ever hear in your life. Let's have a greater respect for the Word of God, and God is going to do greater things in our lives. Psalm 119:56 says, this I have had as the gift of your grace and as my reward, that I have kept your precepts. So he said, my reward is that I have kept your Word. See, obedience to God is a reward. Living an obedient lifestyle is a reward for us, because we feel so good when we know that we're doing the right thing. And then this is what I like. It comes, is brought out in this particular translation. It says, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. You see that at the very last, the amplification? So he said, this is what I did with the Word. I heard it, I received it, I loved it, and I obeyed it. I love that. See, some people hear it and they don't receive it. There's certain things we don't want to hear. Or I could have walked in here and said, I'm going to teach today on wives, be submissive to your husbands. I'm just trying to point out that some things that people say they're going to preach on, it's like all of a sudden now walls, we ain't going to listen to that. There ain't even no hearing that. I'll sit here and do something, but I'm not going to, I'm not getting that one. Well, all of the word is for all of us. The word is for all of us. Hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying the word of God. The phrase hearing, loving, receiving, and obeying it is found 17 times in the Psalms, and 15 of them are in Psalm 119. Study Psalm 119. How many of you will do that? I mean, you're just going to love it. Study Psalm 119. And if it takes you a week, I don't care. But study it and really think about what it's saying. It just shows us the value of the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word of God. To meditate on the Word means to roll it over and over and over in your mind, to mutter it under your breath, to think about it. In other words, I put down here, preach to yourself. Do you know, I'm really on fire about these messages because I've already preached these to myself several times. I mean, I was up this morning at 6 o'clock preaching to myself. While I was doing my hair, I was preaching to myself. Well, see, by the time I get here, I open my mouth and it just rolls out because I've been preaching to myself. Well, if you preach to yourself more in your quiet time and private time, when you get out around people, you're going to behave a whole lot better than what you would have if you spend your morning thinking about who all you're mad at. How many of you have ever told your kids, now, make sure you chew your food. Don't swallow that whole. Chew your food. Chew that better. Well, when we meditate on the word, it's equivalent to chewing it. And when you chew your food, that's how you get all the nutrients out of it. If you swallow it whole and don't chew it, then there's vitamins and life-giving nutrients in it that you don't even get. It actually can give you indigestion and a tummy ache if you don't chew it. And so meditating on the word, it's like it's not good enough to show up in a building and sit there and kind of halfway sort of maybe a little listen to what's being said. No, we need to focus. We need to have a humble attitude. We need to be hungry for the word. We need to believe there's power in this. I don't want to miss any of it. It's working in me right now. This word is healing me. I believe that people, when they sit under the word, can be healed of sickness and disease if they'll release their faith and believe that there's power in the word.
So recognizing how vital God's word is to our lives is one of the things that will change you like nothing else. And developing a real passionate desire to spend time with him is so important. Joyce is going to tell us more about that. But right now, author, speaker, Bible teacher Beth Moore is here with us. Beth, we're so happy to have you here with us.
Ginger, I could not be more excited. I am so happy to be talking about this particular subject.
This is one of your passions,
I
love
it.
But my question is, because I just introduced you as Bible teacher, speaker, and author, so everyone at home is thinking she was born with a passion for God's word. Is that the way it went for you?
Absolutely not. But I will tell you this, that I am so thankful for. I was raised in church. And I mean, from the time I was born, within a couple of weeks, I would have been in the nursery. I truly was in the cradle role of a church. And my denomination did so many things well, and so much of this has changed over the last decades. But I was raised to love missions. I knew what it was to be saved, but I really did not know how to study the Word of God. Yeah. I knew how to memorize some passages because that's what we did in our missions classes and in Sunday school, but I really did not know what it was like to get into it and study it, and it become just life and breath to you, milk and meat to you. No, I did not know that. I really came to that out of desperation. I truly did. I would say that I did.
Well, when you say out of desperation, what was it that brought you to the point that you knew you had to do something different?
You know, I came to that crisis where if Jesus was only what I had learned him to be and been taught that he was, I was not going to make it. And maybe I would have made it physically in the natural sense, but I was not going to make it in any sense of victory. And I had a heart for him. That's the thing about it. You can have a heart for God and you can know Jesus Christ personally and still walk in a ton of defeat. And that's what I did. I didn't want to. I didn't stay in it. The Holy Spirit does his job. I would cycle in and out of victory and defeat and victory and defeat and victory and defeat. Because all I knew to do, I'm so thankful for this, I knew how to repent. I knew how to say, Lord, I'm in a mess and I don't know how to get out.
You knew to ask for help.
Absolutely. And he was faithful every time, forgave me as if I had not even committed those sins. I'm so grateful for that. But I did not know how to walk in the victory that you are only going to get when the Spirit of God is alive in you and quickened through the Word. That has to happen. And what happened for me is that when I began, I'd started studying. At first, I wasn't a Bible teacher. I was really what you would call a motivational speaker. And I had done that for about 4 or 5 years when I was asked to start subbing someone else's Bible class just for a year. And I was absolutely terrible at it because, you know, I didn't know how to actually study out a lesson. All I knew to do was think of something I thought would be fun to talk about. I'm sanguine to the bone. And then try the hardest I could to find a scripture that would go with it. But then, you know, crisis comes.
Yeah.
And here's your Bible cracked wide open and you're going, I need to know who you are. And my mind was so battered from my past and from so much defeat and just the war within me. I just was not winning that battle that you have within you, that part of you that one part wants to do right, the other part wants to do wrong. And I was just in absolute misery. And at the same time, I had begun to really study because I had to make it in my class. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, his just word just starts springing off that page. And I've said so many times, Ginger, the Son of God saved my soul, but he used the Word of God to save my mind. And I just started falling in love. And I started going, who are you? Not who have I been taught you are. And
That's so good. There's so a distinction.
There is. I was taught so many good things. What I had been taught about him was true. It just wasn't all there was.
Yeah.
There was Genesis to Revelation.
And the personal side of it.
That he's going to speak to me off those pages and that I'm going to be different.
So the question is, will he do that for anybody who dedicates that time? Or does it work different for some people?
Absolutely anybody. And listen, this is, you know, when they talk about a hill worth dying on to you, this one I would fight to the death over. It is the will of God for every single person to know him through his word. We cannot know God apart from his word.
Yeah.
This is how we begin to know what, this is our concrete, this is our authority. And I am absolutely convinced, and I tell women this all the time, anybody who will listen to me, what is it that you want? Is it what you yearn for in your soul, not what you want for out, what you long for out here in the tangible realm, which at the end of the day does not do you any good? Yeah. It is not about what we can build
stuff.
Up. No, it is never going to be. You're going to come to that sooner or later. You might as well come to it sooner and get on with it because it's going to be the stuff of the soul. What is it you really want? Yeah. Most people will tell you, I want to feel alive. I want to feel like my life has purpose. I want to know that I'm here for a reason, that my short little stay on this earth can make a difference. And Every part of that is grounded in the scriptures. And I first saw it in my first Bible doctrine teacher. I didn't even know what to call it. But I saw a life in him. When he opened up his Bible, there was not just a discipline to study it. He had a delight. I couldn't have put that terminology with it at the time, but I can looking back on it. That it was more to him. Nobody was having to tell him, you really should study this many minutes every day or this many hours every... Nobody was having to tell him that. It's what he wanted. I was so intrigued, I couldn't even take a note. I'd gone prepared to take all my notes, nothing. I sat there just mesmerized. And when I got in the car, I burst into tears, and I started crying before I even shut the door. I got in my car, I burst into tears, shut the door, and said to the Lord, I do not know what that was, but I want that. I want that. And as I live and breathe, I can still hardly talk about this without wanting to cry about it, because in that moment, it was like he took a match and struck it against a stone, and he set it in my chest.
Wow.
And you know, that fire sometimes really goes up high, and sometimes it'll be a little lower, but it's always there. Yes. Because I'm going to constantly, and this, listen, Ginger, the thing I asked for that day, I keep asking for. I want it. I want it. And if I'm sort of dull to it, it's one thing to be dull to it for a day or two. We're tired. Life happens. We've got a lot on our minds. Sometimes we're under the weather. We haven't had enough sleep, whatever it may be. I feel like we all get hall passes on
moody,
that.
Moody, whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But once I'm 3 or 4 days in and I'm still feeling a little dull to it, to this day, I'm going, okay, what is up? I'm not having this. Huh. Your word is alive and active, and I want it in my bones. I want it to be fire in my bones.
So if I want that passion, let's say I don't have it. The alarm clock goes off in the morning, and all I want to do is hit snooze over and over and over.
Me too.
If I begin asking God for that kind of passion that you're talking about, what do I need to do? How do I need to allow him? Because we know he wants to give it to us.
Yes.
How do I need to allow him to begin to build that in my life?
Well, I do want someone to hear what you just said, that you know that he wants to. That's what she needs to know, is that he really does want to, so that we can have faith. If we know that we are asking God for something that he already wants to give us, we get to thank him in advance, because when we pray in his will, we will have what we ask. When we ask to have a heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anyone or anything we can see, touch, feel, can have any kind of sensory response to, when we pray for that and when we pray to love God's word, the answer is yes, because it is the will of God.
So says that all through the Bible.
All
we can
through
find
the
that
Word
anywhere.
Of God.
Yeah.
All through the Word of God. So when I get up, if I'm feeling that way, I'm already by faith. I would tell her, you start studying. Start studying and start pressing in. And one of the things can you see me? I'm just jumping up.
she said she'd be in my lap by the end of this.
I did say that. The more excited I get, the closer I get in. Just to totally get in the thing where you're not just like, don't think of Bible study as that you're just sitting in a class like you did in high school biology.
Right.
No, this is your teacher sitting on the other side of that desk. You just cannot see him with your natural eyes. This is him going, this is my word through the ages, the eternal word of God.
Yeah. It's that interactive.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah.
When we separate the word of God from the mouth of God, we've just got ourselves a textbook.
Yeah.
It's that it's him, that it's God breathed on that sacred page, that it doesn't get more gorgeous than that.
Well, Beth, you have sparked some passion in a lot of people I know today.
Oh, I tell you, I hope so. People did that for me, and that's how this has got to happen, where it just is contagious.
Well, it's worked in Beth's life. It's worked in Joyce's life. It's worked in my life. We can guarantee it is faithful to the Word of God.
God will do what he says, and he will change your life too. You just need to start somewhere. Just give it a try. That's really the beginning. Just say, okay, today I'm going to do this, and then see what happens. It's kind of like eating sugar. You start to eat a little bit, you want a whole lot more. The Word of God is that way too. Start with a great Bible. Find the translation that speaks to you. We have today available the Everyday Life Bible. It's the Amplified version. It helps you understand it. It also has Joyce's teaching notes in it, and we're offering that to you today. But get a Bible that works for you, and then just start digging in, praying that God will show you what he wants to show you, and let that relationship begin to grow. Beth, thank you so much.
Oh, it was a great joy for me. Thank you so much, Ginger.
And my purpose here tonight is some way, somehow, by the grace and the mercy of God, to help you learn to love the Word. Don't ever approach it out of an obligation or a duty, but love the Word of God. Don't just read it, but study it and take it into yourself like you really believe it. Take it like you take medicine. And when you have a problem in your life, if you're angry and bitter, I don't care how many doses of the Word you have to take to get over that. Here's what I want you to know. The Word of God has power inherent in it to drive that poison out of your soul if you will be determined that you are not going to live full of poisons. See, some of you are just putting up with it because you don't know what else to do. But I'm telling you what, if you get dogmatically determined that you are going to have what Jesus died for you to have, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Why not at least dedicate 1 year to thoroughly studying the Word of God? Don't let a day go by in your life that you don't take some word into you. Let me tell you, if you had a dreaded disease and the doctor said you're going to have to take this medicine for a year, three times a day, you would take that medicine three times a day for a year. Nothing would get in your way. You would do without other things to be able to buy that medicine. And I know I'm going to need God's help with this, and he's the only one to convince you that what I'm saying is true. But I am telling you that myself, as well as multiplied many others, some of them sitting right here tonight, are living proof that the Word of God has the power in it to heal your soul and change you completely into a brand new person. You do not have to remain a victim of anything. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. And after that I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passed his judgment, and he wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. His eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns and diadems. And he has a title, a name inscribed, which he alone knows or can understand. He's dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. And the title by which he is called is the Word of the Living God. And Christ, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Holy Spirit anointed men to write what we call the Bible, which nobody has ever been able to get rid of or destroy. They kept it locked up for a long time. It was called the Dark Ages. No wonder they were called the Dark Ages, because they had hidden the light of the world. But as God always does, he broke out. He broke out. And let me tell you, God's going to break out again on our society. Because nobody's going to get rid of God. You can't really expel God from school. You can't really get him out of anything because he owns everything and is everything. And I, for one, have made my decision. I will love the Word. I will live by the Word. I will eat the Word. I will meditate on the Word. I will study the Word. I will speak the Word, because it is the medicine that I need for all the poisons in my soul, and it is what you need also for the poison in your soul. Come on, let's make a commitment to love the Word like never before. Hallelujah! We love your Word, God. We love your Word. We love your Word. We love your Word. We love your Word. And if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
This is what we're offering today. This is the Everyday Life Bible, and it's a great Bible. If you would like something that is easy to understand and also broadens the language, that's what the Amplified Version does. It gives you a lot of different options for what God's Word is saying here, and it really helps you to understand it in a new and an amplified way. This also has a lot of Joyce's teaching notes in it. So whatever topic you're reading about, there are different things in there that Joyce will share from her own life, her own study and experience that will also help in your life. So we have this available for you today. Pick it up, go to the website right now, call the phone number on your screen, but make sure you find a Bible that really works for you. You know, on social media, we asked you to share your stories about answered prayer, and that's what this Bible is. It's all communication back and forth with God, spending time in prayer with him. And this is a great story that Doreen sent in. She says, "When I was in my early 20s, I vividly remember praying with a group of ladies for the salvation of my birth mother and telling God that I didn't even care if I ever met her here on earth. I just wanted her to be saved. 20 years later, I got a call telling me that my birth mother wanted to contact me. We talked about everything under the sun, and it became evident that she did not have a relationship with Christ. We kept in touch over the next several months, and I kept mentioning my faith, Joyce Meyer, and the church I attended. She started watching Joyce, and when we finally met face to face, she came to church with me and gave her life to Christ." Doreen, that is beautiful. And she goes on to say, God does hear us. He does answer prayer, sometimes far surpassing what we could ever hope for. And sometimes it just takes a little time. We have to be patient. So true. And I'm sure that many of you have stories just like that. So we invite you to tell us about it. Today, tell us how God has been faithful to you in your life. These stories will encourage many, many people, and that's what we're here for, to help one another. Use Facebook, go to the Joyce Meyer Facebook page. If you're on Twitter, use hashtag EA. And of course, if you want to ask a question, use that hashtag AskJoyce. Thanks so much to Joyce and our guest, Beth Moore, today. They're both always so helpful. Beth was amazing. And as we close, I want to encourage you to be that answer to someone else today. It's so easy if you just look for a need that God will allow you to fill, and you can help them see how real he really is. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.